those areas. It is a capped landfill, which means it's considered safe at this point. And if he has plans that are going to disturb that, then he has to come up with ways that are going to deal with that and make it safe. And there are provisions in there. I am comfortable with the provisions that I've read. I like the fact that we're looking at extra mediation costs to keep the citizens safe. I think that's better than just saying it's going to go away, because it won't. If you don't do anything with it, it will be there. So we have an opportunity that possibly could be a positive for the community to make use of land. But again, this is not the only land that's part of this proposal. There are many acres of land within this development area.
Okay, sir, your name and address, please.
Kuramustaba, K-H-U-R-R-E-M-M-U-J-T-A-M-E-A, Kuramustaba, 8550, West Hawthorne Lane. I wasn't even going to come back to say something, because as if I'm actually talking to bare wall, because whatever we have said so far, overwhelmingly, all the neighbors in several meetings before this has not made any effect whatsoever in terms of actually lodging our complaints or our thinking that how would it affect our future or our future generation. But yet, I'm just going to try once more. Basically, the analogy, the way the TIF is going to be kind of like used, would it be something like that I would just walk into my house and I would just tell my kids and my wife that I'm going to actually buy a Ferrari, whereas we don't have the money to actually put the food on the table. And my wife would say, how could you do that to us? Like, we have to actually buy our food and we don't have... And I would say to them, honey, I'm not going to actually buy it right now, but I'm actually putting a money aside and confirmation to actually buy this Ferrari. But I will make sure that we'll have the food first and we'll have the house first and we'll pay for the college fee for our elder son and blah, 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 whatever. So, I mean, in that kind of situation, to actually allow the TIF to move forward, and this is not the money anybody can claim that I have or you have. This is the money we collectively gather together. We pay these taxes. Everybody can claim that we pay these taxes. And then ultimately it's going to be allocated somewhere, which is for good for the community. But to see this way that this future plans is going to be based on this, it's just like really doesn't make any sense whatsoever. When the time is right, when we have all those things, it's what you just talked about, that is going to be based on this, then yeah, let's talk about this. But then all these hurdles along the way, and then we are thinking that, okay, in the future, we're going to actually allocate this, but let's allocate this money here. Whereas we can allocate this money towards the education of our kids in the schools, in other activities, and so on and so forth. Let's come up with some plans to actually give some sort of money towards the college fee. That Franklin is the first city in this whole U.S. that who's actually coming up with this scholarship plans for our college kids. Whatever, whatnot. I mean, it could be X, Y, Z. But to actually allocate some money towards, which I wouldn't call it a luxury. Yes, kids need, younger generation needs. I have four boys, and they need to actually play. Take part in all those activities, but I mean, seriously, we have to actually look at the priorities, what we have. Same situation, we are buying a Ferrari. Having said all that, seriously, we have to have those activities. I'm not just going to outright say that, okay, we're not going to actually be interested in this. If we have in the immediate vicinity, we have that place where our younger generation can go and play and have a good time, then let's try it out. But from the day one, the concern was that it's going to affect the immediate neighbors. And we are the prime stakeholder in this. So you have to listen to this. You can't just simply say that, okay, 6-1 or 5-1, and then we just raise our hands and go ahead. But we haven't been listened to. If we actually look at what has been the result of all these meetings is that is clearly anybody who has got no stake in it would come and sit as observer, would say that, okay, these guys haven't listened to the neighbors. And that's all I want to say. Please do not just decide this on the whims of some people. It has to be a logical decision. And the logical decision is we cannot allocate money for a Ferrari, whereas we have a lot more other things to spend that money on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? By the way, I have to admit, now I'm really confused. I was just told that I'm not listening, and then before I was told I listened too much. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Okay, it's real short. Pat Solansky, 8565 South 16th Street. I just want to make it clear, the majority of the people are not against the development. We're against the location. If you find a better location for it, I don't think you'd have any problem at all. Secondly, why are you voting on this before the DNR report? That's all I have to say.
That's a question. That's a question that I was going to answer later, but I'll answer now.
The mic's not working.
Well, I'll speak a little louder then. Can you hear me towards Ken? Can you hear me? Okay.
You're supposed to speak into the mic. That's the problem. You do that up at City Hall, too.
What do you want me to say?
That's the way you're supposed to be doing it all the time.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, why are we doing the TIF now and not waiting for the DNR? The DNR report is part of the 39 items that are the contingents items for the rezoning request. So if the DNR request or report comes in and says, no, you can't do it, have a nice day. The TID project is coming forward, as you'll hear, as was discussed in the Plan Commission public hearing that only a couple showed up for, is that we're trying to capture additional tax increment to make it even a better financial deal. We're not borrowing a single cent yet. This is just putting the program in place, pending the completion of the items still outstanding on the zoning request. So there was somebody coming up. Chad, you've already
had. I just had another question.
We only have time for 5 minutes. If you want to give us three.
All right. You mentioned something about methane remediation.
Page 20 of the report.
Yep. Yeah, I was reading it. Who's going to pay for that?
Page 20 of the report is part of the TID cost.
So the city's going to pay for that?
No, the development will pay for it.
The developer?
The development.
I would think that's going to be like $10, $20 million to redo all that.
Well, we've got to deal with the experts that we have.
I mean, because it was just done like, 15 years ago. They dug that whole area up back there to put in all the methane ventilation pipes and then the burn-off. And now they're going to dig that all up and remove all that? I mean, how are you going to then predict where that methane is going to move under the ground after you disturb it all again? I mean, now you're completely opening up a whole another can of worms here, because now you have no idea where methane is going to go, where it's going to move. I mean, at least now they have it monitored and it's under control. Once you start doing that, now you're creating a whole new situation here. So, I don't know.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else? Let's be smart about this and move forward, please.
I'm just going to follow up real quick. This report actually...
Your name and address, please.
Oh, Jerome Jenneck, 8072 South 66 Court, Franklin, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Feel a little bit more comfortable now that I know you guys. The page 20 that you referred to, just wanted to put the fact out there that you guys have the county methane collection system. You guys earmarked $1.5 million 15 years from now. So I'm pretty sure the project's going to be built, everything's going to be disturbed, and then 15 years from now we're going to address the methane collection.
That,
item 6, county methane collection system.
That can move forward. It's not...
So this is just like a hypothetical that we put together, and we decided to err on the side of not being cautious, say that we could just have the methane thing be addressed with 15 years from now?
As I said to you,
yes.
It can move forward.
Okay, so it could move forward. What's going to make it move forward with what you guys are voting on today? What are the things that are going to allow that to move forward?
Well, as we discussed at the Plan Commission... public hearing, that everyone was invited to. The DNR is the ultimate arbiter of all of this.
Okay.
It's not the city of Franklin. It's not Milwaukee County. It's the DNR. And so, they will tell us what needs to be done.
Okay, so as the city of Franklin, don't you think the first thing you should put as a priority is that $1.5 million being front-loaded before everyone else gets paid? I mean, don't you think you should at least make a priority in that aspect?
Well, I'm going to answer your question, and then the city attorney is going to answer. My answer to that question is, why would you spend the money if you don't need to? You're making an assumption that it's needed.
Okay.
It may not be needed. We don't know that until the DNR gives us a report, and they will. And there's $1.5530 million to pay for an enhancement if it's required. Mr. City Attorney.
Now, I would just think that like our city council would be erring on the side of caution.
And we absolutely are.
The second thing is I really don't think anybody really understands the math behind this TIF. Everyone says it has a $20 million number to it.
No.
Or well, what's the number?
It's a $20 million cost.
Okay.
It's near, it's 30.1 with debt service. 30.1 something.
So then it's even worse. I mean, how much does it cost to build a stadium? I mean, really what we're doing is we're paying $30 million, which you're saying over 20 years, right? Or 18, what's the term of this? $30 million. And then you also have the fact of the cost of all of the services and goods that Franklin is going to be providing to all these residents that aren't paying taxes to Franklin. So there's 300 apartments or units or whatever. They're going to have, let's say 50 students. What does it cost to educate 50 students over the course of 20 years? They're going to have police, et cetera. So a good analogy would be, and let me get this correct. So if this is the precedent you guys are setting, and I think my numbers are pretty correct, if I propose to you guys that I'm going to build a mixed-use property that's going to have a family, single-family house and a apartment on a piece of land that is currently generating only $2,000 worth of revenue to the city of Franklin because it hasn't been built on for millennia. I buy this property. I build a million-dollar house, mixed-use house with an office and a retail center in front. You increase my taxes to $22,000. We put it in a TIF because it's mixed use and you guys like mixed use. I end up getting my $20,000 back per year. You guys still get your $2,000. And then I get to collect for 20 years my $20,000 back, which is $400,000 subsidy to build myself a house and an office for my business. That's essentially what you guys are doing. And then on top of that, I have two kids. So you're going to pay to educate my two kids. Okay, so the overall cost of this million-dollar project is the $400,000 TIF and the cost to educate my kids. So basically, Franklin is paying, I'd say if you look at the economics behind this, over 50% of the cost of this project. Okay? And I just don't think it economically makes sense for us to do that. We can build a stadium ourselves and not have to do all this. I just don't understand why we have to give the money away to private enterprise, hand out all this benefit, you said $30 million, and then educate all these families that aren't paying into Franklin and give them this huge subsidy. I just don't get it. We're going to build a pool at these apartment complexes that are private because everyone agrees that if you build an apartment complex, you need pools there so people could buy into the apartments because it has a certain amount of amenities. Franklin doesn't even have a public pool. So it's like we're going to give a private person our cash to build a pool for their private development to people that aren't paying property taxes in our city. And we don't even have a public pool ourselves. I don't understand it. I mean, I think it's kind of ludicrous. You think we would have a public pool. We have, you know, tons of families, et cetera. It just doesn't make sense. I'm going to, obviously, I don't think you guys are going to change your mind. I think you guys are bought out. This guy seems like he's a nice businessman, you know, all for him. But building in a dump, giving him a bunch of money, doesn't make sense, but you guys obviously have figured it all out.
Thank you. Any? Let's not.
No,
okay.
I'm just wondering, there's a lot of misconception on figures. I mean, majority of what he said on the cost and the figures and the time frames were incorrect.
Right.
Well,
and if we don't straighten that out, we're misleading people. We have a finance officer here. Or I guess people could take the time to try to understand the documents a little better.
I appreciate that, Alderwoman. I really do. That's why we have item G2 on the agenda.
Right.
And we'll get there someday.
Right.
But in addition to that, Alderwoman, we had a public hearing in front of the Plan Commission designed specifically for that purpose, and I only see one person in the room who was there. None of the other people were there. Public hearing for this purpose. Would have had the accurate numbers. And I don't fault you for not coming. I'm just saying. The information's out there that's correct. So, anyway, we're still in citizens' comment period. Any other citizen wishing to speak? Anyone else wishing to speak?
I'll keep it quick. My name is Bernie Kieran. I'm 6928 South 90th Street. And I want to thank Mr. Mayor. He's had a couple conversations with me on the phone. I really respect his time. Some of them are Friday nights, so I respect that. But I'm going to keep it short and pretty focused because I think it's consistent with what I've shared with Mr. Mayor. My big concern here, and it seems sort of lost, when we talk about liability, what we're essentially talking about is a kid that got cancer, someone that got sick. And I question why we would take what is probably one of the most toxic, and I'm pulling from the testimony of a former Franklin City engineer, toxic and hazardous waste on site, that would be the place where we want to draw in and attract children and families? I just kind of question that, because I think, I look at Kayla's crew, which is amazing, amazing playground, safe for kids. I mean, it's built to standard. I mean, a kid falls there and they bounce, you know, and it's amazing. But then those same kids can go across town to participate in a little league, you know, exercising near methane vents, which according to the last report I see here, emissions report contained PCBs, ethylene dioxide. I mean, this is very concerning. I mean, it's just natural concern for kids. So I just want to make that point that I question, you know, I don't understand the kind of economic pressures that we may be under here, but don't forget that these are kids, the most vulnerable. And I think youth coming to that site is, well, youth coming to exercise is great, but I question that site. And if we do make it safer and less toxic, it still will be more dangerous than if you put the stadium or these fields someplace else. We have so much land. You know, and so I'm concerned when I drive by and see the kids there. And it's really my, I'm pretty focused on that. Because they're not here and they have a voice, and the families trust that they'll see and people are like, oh, they approved the funding for this. Well, that will sort of give the impression that you're endorsing it as a safe place because there is no signs there. I grew up near a landfill, and it was, everyone knew it was a landfill, and they had a post, and they put the playground equipment there because you have to reuse these sites, you do. But none of the kids went there. The parents were like, stay away from them. You don't know what's in the methane. And I think it's clear to say, based on the reports I've seen, we don't know for sure what's in the methane. So I just kind of want to be that voice for the kids that aren't here. You know, I have two young kids, too. So don't forget that knowledge. When we talk about liability, what we're really saying is a kid got sick. So, all right, thank you for your time.
There is a misconception that I've heard a number of times. Actually, I've heard it in almost 30 years, that why don't you put it somewhere else? The city of Franklin puts nothing anywhere. These developments, with some exceptions, are all driven by the people who own the land or will develop it. City of Franklin doesn't say, go here, go there, generally. So,
you get funded, you do.
Let me say that clearly so everyone understands. The city of Franklin does not tell anyone where to go to place their project. The applicants come to the city and we respond. That's exactly what's happening here.
Except you're giving them 20, 30 minutes.
You know what? We listen carefully to you. You got to treat us with respect and don't be talking out of the audience. Mr. Ryan, 3 minutes.
Does everyone else seem to have more than 3 minutes? So is that discrimination?
No, it's not. It's adhering to the rules.
I don't understand why no one else was given a time frame, but I am. Because I was sitting back to timing some of these people because I figured you'd bring up the 3 points so I can assure you that we're people that went over three. So I'm going to start out with a couple of my concerns. I'm going to plant a seed and let you take it from there. Everyone keeps talking about the best day. Let me ask you, what happens about the worst day? This project is going to be based, the sports complex, on a return back to the city for the sports complex, not based on property tax, because the county doesn't pay property tax. It's going to be referred back by personal tax. Mr. Zimmerman, which will own, say, the sports complex stadium, will, and I'm incorrect, and someone can correct me, but he will be paying the value based on a personal income approach for his business. Now, let's say the worst scenario, something happens, and he's not able to fulfill the obligation and walks away. And people may say, well, geez, boy, that's worse. Well, I can tell you the sports complex ended up that way. Two people tried it, and the county got stuck both times with it that way. So what I'm saying here is, if he doesn't pay personal tax and walks away from it, the next person, which would be a lien holder, who has no agreement to pay the tax, takes it. Now that lien holder, if he owns it, what obligation is it? Does he sell it? Does he have a right to sell it to someone else? Then does that agreement go forward? Or does the county take it back? If the county takes it back, the county isn't going to pay taxes on it. So if you're looking to recover money from that sports complex to help pay back the TIF, then I think you need to put those scenarios in place and make sure that those are covered. I'm not here to talk about the dirt, the noise, the traffic. I'm trying to talk sensibly to make sure that as elected officials that you cover all of your bases. Because if you turn it over to the CDA, you have no more real say over this. So what I'm saying is I think you just need to take a little bit of time, look at the worst scenario. You hate to say it, but in a real world, businessmen do it. Mr. Zimmerman does it all the time. He would be successful if he did. I'm asking you to take that into consideration, too, to make sure that there's safeguards put in place that we don't end up with a sports complex like the county. And not once, but twice, they tried giving it up to private companies, entities, and both of those failed. So I think and turning it over to the CDA is only going to do your marching orders. Remember, the CDA is appointed. They're not elected. You people are elected and accountable to the people. Mr. Bartles and I, years ago, we used to have all kinds of debates about elected people versus appointed people, and it got to be very frustrating but very interesting. So I would say if all I can do is plant a seed, which would cause some questions to be asked, to put some safeguards in place to make sure that the city taxpayers are protected and that anything that happens there, because they're not paying, the county for right now does not pay us any taxes at all, and yet we're sending police, we send fire. Those are being paid through the taxpayers of Franklin. I know the county had worked out an agreement with Mr. Zimmerman where he pays them a flat fee to cover incidental costs or whatever. Franklin needs to have that, in place and make sure it's strong enough that we have. You may want to look at whether or not he has to put up a bond, things like that. That's what I'm saying, is at least take the time to explore those. Some of the things I kept hearing today, and I was just curious, is people rely on government to be the safeguard. Has anybody ever asked for any soil tests or anything there? So when people come up and ask questions, instead of getting into debates and fighting and arguing, do we have anything where we've asked where we could say, here, we require every 6 months, every year, for them to go and hire a consultant to do soil monitoring, air quality monitoring, and have that as a public record? That's something that you can build into this negotiations with the developer on this, and it'll take care of the people that have these concerns that are coming up. And that's what I'm trying to say is, I only have 3 minutes, but things like that I think this council needs to take into consideration, to take a step back before you turn it over to the CDA, ask some of these questions, build in some more safeguards for the people, listen to the questions, and deal with the concerns and have a document. I'd like to see a document that says, hey, you asked the question, he's required every year, once a year, to do this. We make the quarry do certain things for theirs because neighbors spoke out in that. So again, I'm asking for that, and I'm kind of saying, step back, look at the worst state. Since I only have 3 minutes, I could talk about a lot of other things, but I'm not here to upset anyone or get anyone upset, but I hope I can plant those seeds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing none, I will close the citizens' comment period. Move on to item C1, the approval of the regular common council meeting minutes of August 16th. Is there all those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C2, minutes from the August 23rd.
Second.
Discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G1, consent agenda.
Motion approved.
Second. Discussion. You want to contact the two major donors there?
Yeah, I will. They're actually on my disc.
There. All those in favor accepting the three donations, by the way, I'll just make it public because it's pretty good. Daniel and Sandra Hay donated a total of $6,000 for defibrillator for the fire department. That's wonderful. Sandra donated $3,000 and the couple donated another $3,000. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item 2, a resolution approving a project plan and establishing boundaries for creation of a tax incremental district number 5. Mr. Hertzberg.
Thank you. It is working. Tonight we've got Don Gunderson from Ehlers and Associates to walk through the project plan, help address any questions that you may have. As you know, we presented a market analysis study to you previously, as well as a feasibility analysis for the tax incremental district number 5 to this body, and then a planning commission meeting and public hearing was held on August 18th, reviewing the same document with a recommendation for approval from the planning commission. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dawn.
Ms. Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a PowerPoint to kind of walk through. It's the document that we reviewed with the public hearing at their meeting on August 18th. I don't know for you, those of you that have your back to the...
We've got eyes in the back of our heads.
We're here this evening because on your agenda you have a resolution to consider the creation of tax increment district number 5 within the city of Franklin. It would be the fifth creation of a district for the city. You currently have two active districts, number 3 and number 4. District number 1 and number 2 have been created, have accomplished their intentions and paid off any of their obligations and have since closed. So with that, I would like to talk a little bit about what tax increment financing is. It's an economic development tool.
Excuse me. You want to come over here so they can see through you, not see past you, not through you?
Okay.
Just hold the mic.
Okay. And I don't know if there's a way to dim those first bank of lights. If not, we'll all be in the dark. The easier I know for people to see it. Now, if we end up all in the dark, watch us.
Well, we paid for it, but we don't know how to work.
Okay. Can everybody see? Well enough? I'll just go ahead and go on. If we are able to accomplish that, that will be good. Tax increment financing, it's an economic development tool. And the action this evening is to put in plan, a project plan, that falls within or this this tool within the state of Wisconsin. It's used, it has been used here for many years. It's used throughout the country and many other states. And what we'll talk about it graphically, but what it allows is allows for cities to capture additional property tax revenue from a defined area and then to use that revenue to pay for projects within that area. We'll talk about how that works in terms of the tool. There are some acronyms that you'll hear, and they're used kind of interchangeably. TIF, or TIF, that is the actual tax increment financing or the financial tool. And TID, which is tax increment district, TID, that is the geographic area where that tool is being used. So here in Wisconsin, TIF has been in place since 1976. It is probably the most powerful and perhaps the only economic development tool that's available to local governments. Its intent is to promote economic development, to address the lack of the ability to provide incentives or financial resources to support projects. It promotes cooperation between the public and private sector. And it does spread the cost of economic development to all jurisdictions. In the past, if there was economic development prior to 76, that cost was borne by the local government. This allows a sharing of any cost to be provided for this purpose by all the taxing entities, the county, the city, the technical college, and the school district. And as part of this process, and we'll talk through what's necessary to create a tax increment district, we had a meeting of all the overlapping taxing entities prior to the public hearing before the Plan Commission, because they do have a vested interest in the deferral of tax revenue while the district is in place. And at the end of the day, what TIF does is it ultimately provides property tax relief to the entities, because at the end of the day, there's a new value that's there that's generating taxes that would be utilized and support all aspects of local government. So I'm graphically going to talk a little bit about how TIF works. Again, we're here tonight to put that first step into place, is action by the City Council to create a tax increment district. And we're doing it now because, as the mayor mentioned earlier, it's a timing issue. If it's created before the end of September, you're actually benefiting by value that's coming online because there was private tax-exempt property that was acquired by the developer and now will become taxable beginning next year. So to kind of walk through this graphically, is the first step to create a district is to look at the area and define the area and the property you want to include in the district. So on this left-hand side of this schedule would be, and I'm going to say this entire area would be considered TIF, that it's full contiguous parcels. So they have to, you can't cut a parcel in half. It has to be a complete parcel at the time it's created. Has to be within the jurisdiction that's creating the district, and in this case, the City of Franklin. And all the properties have to touch, so they have to be contiguous. Now, if there's a road or a highway in between, as long as the properties would be adjacent and touch each other, without the road, they're considered contiguous. So the first thing that happens is you look at the value of property value of all the parcels within the district, and you tabulate that up. So for the district that we're looking at creating, I believe we're at about a $2 million tax base now. And we'll talk about the fact that there is property that's in, located in this district that currently is not paying taxes because it's tax exempt. So the taxable piece of the property is approximately $2 million. And the timing of that, in this particular case, if this district is created with a resolution as of today, that would go back to the value as of January 1 of 2016. So that initial value we refer to in terms of the language as the base value. Now, the base value of all that property, and if you're in a TIF district or you're not in a TIF district, you pay the same rate per thousand of taxes. So for in my example here, $20 a thousand, you pay the same $20 of any taxpayer within the same taxing jurisdiction. So in this particular case, we're talking about the Franklin School Districts, the Milwaukee County, the City of Franklin, and the MATC Technical College. So that base value, the taxes collected on that property now, it's distributed between all of those taxing entities. So in my pie example here, $20 gets distributed between all of the entities, and the majority of that going to the school district and then the city, the county, and the technical college. Now, the premise of TIF is when improvements take place from the point of its creation being as of January 1 of 2016, any new value that's added or improvements of land value becomes increment. Now, as the taxes are collected on that incremental value, it's the same $20 per thousand, but that improvements, the revenue coming off of those taxes, goes back to the city to pay for any cost that they incurred to support the development happening. So that's where the dollars and the power comes from tax increment district. It's a sharing of those tax dollars. So during the life of the district, the county, the school, and the technical college are agreeing to forego those taxes in order to promote this improvement or land increase in property value in that tax increment district. And they do that because at the end of the day, there's new value for them to collect taxes, and they're willing to participate in making that happen. So this graph is just intended to kind of give you an idea to show you where the dollars are coming from and how the dollars are being generated to pay for any costs associated with the district's creation.
Ms. Gunderson, earlier we heard that the district is going to be at risk because we're using personal property. Well, personal taxes is what the term was. Does the increment derive any of its revenue from anything personal?
The increment that's coming in is related to the value of improvements coming on land. So if the developer has put cost in place to generate that improvement, that developer will pay the taxes. It's the taxes then are that are paid by that development. Now, the value coming to the tax increment district is property tax. It can be personal property, if there's personal property tax, anything that's taxed on personal property. And there's a state, if there's computer aid that's replenished by the state, that would also come back to the district. Anything new from the time it was created.
And yes.
The last piece, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to project costs and assumptions. If any property is deemed to be tax exempt, there can be an agreement for a pilot payment or a payment in lieu of taxes. That would also come back to the district and benefit the cost of the district. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we talk about developers' agreements. So under the TIF law in Wisconsin, the underpinning of the TIF program is referred to as the but-for test. So this question needs to be asked and answered at the local level by this body and by the Plan Commission. And as the process moves forward and any developer's agreement is executed, that there is a need for this assistance. And if this assistance wasn't provided or that but-for question cannot be answered, then one of the likely would not have occurred. So but for the use of TIF, the proposed development would either not occur at all, would not occur as being proposed within the time frame that's expected or desired at the same level of value. And that value can be looked at in terms of property value, and we certainly want property value because that's where the taxes are generated, job creations, or other amenities. So those are the questions that need to be asked. Is without this assistance to whatever level that may be, these types of the development may not come to the expectation and the desire that's being proposed or requested by the city. So statute defines the type of cost that can be incurred, eligible project cost. Some of these are within this district, some are not, but the listing here, and I won't go through them, but the ones that are important for the creation of this particular district are public works and improvements. We've identified there's a need to put utility infrastructure in place, otherwise the site cannot be developed on, and we'll talk about what those are and where they're located. Any cost to finance, if there was a need to write down a real estate professional services cost, there's the ability for the city to recuperate any administrative cost that they incur as a result of the district being in place. There's some other identified things there, if there's any utility or proration of that. One is cash grants or developers' contributions. These cash grants or incentives that are provided for development. One of the important things that I think is important for everybody to understand is before anything can be provided, there has to be a developer's agreement in place. And I know there was a lot of discussion about the items that need to be addressed before this entire project moves forward. One of the key things that needs to be put in place is a development agreement. We'll talk about the due diligence that's going on presently to ensure and to prepare for that execution of any document. And if there's any environmental remediation, I know there was discussion about that. That is an eligible project cost. And if there's any costs that are outside the boundaries, whether it's street improvements or need that are demonstrated to benefit this district within a half mile, those could be identified as eligible project costs. So that's kind of a list of the types of things that can be paid for using tax increment dollars. Now, one of the first phases of creating a project plan is to go through a feasibility analysis. The plan was prepared, the criteria and the feasibility were addressed. State statute requires that no more than 12% of property value with any jurisdiction, any city, can be within a district. The city is a long ways from meeting that maximum limit, so they're able to create this district without issue with that. The district qualifies for the what is determined as a mixed-use district, meaning there will be a combination of, in this case, residential and commercial development. We'll talk about the fact that that's a 20-year district. I know that came up as a question earlier. And based upon the analysis, we've projected that the tax increments or the revenues generated within the creation of this district as proposed would be sufficient to pay for the project cost that we've identified or have been identified to be supported. And also as part of this feasibility criteria, the city and its economic development partners understand there is a need to actively manage this district as it moves forward. So we'll talk a little bit about the district itself. There was a project plan prepared that is available, I know, on the city's website. But if you'll look at this map, the proposed area that would be included within this district is identified here and outlined in green. It's about 106, just under 168 acres in total. There's 24 parcels located to the west. This is Loomis Road here. This is Rawson Avenue here. So to the west of Loomis, there's about 24 parcels located north and south. And there's currently about 27 acres within this that is presently tax exempt. Some of that has been acquired. This stretch in through here, we'll talk a little bit more about that with the development proposal, has been acquired. It was previously DOT property. There's county-owned land up here. And but the property at the south is primarily ag land, so there will be potential for a substantial increase in value there following the development. So the existing land use, I mentioned a little bit, the property to the north of Rawson, again, here's Rawson and Loomis, that's the county park land, currently housing the Roxford complex. I think that's kind of in this area up here. There's former DOT land here that has been acquired or is in contract with control by the developer. And there's a few parcels on the to the east. What's the cross street there?
That's
76th Street. Thank you. That have also been included for potential for redevelopment. And then the property to the south of Rawson is identified to is somewhat underutilized residential, and there was a former horse farm in that site there. Now, as far as what's being proposed for redevelopment, we're primarily focusing on the area to the west of 76th Street. This is the proposed development that has come forward to the city. It is a mix of commercial, office, retail, restaurant, and hotel, and residential. There's an indoor sports entertainment facility here, substantial shared parking for events in this area here. There's a stadium identified here as well, garden apartments located down here, and a mix of the commercial and retail would be located here, along with some additional residential and some commercial retail here. The hotel is identified at this point in this site right there. And the estimated tax base for all of this, once completely developed, is about just over $100 million. That's based upon estimates of construction, discounted at about 85% of that, those costs. And that we've broken down. I know there's no way you can read this from first row here, let alone the back row. But I'll kind of walk through what is expected in terms of value, and I'm going to flip to my version because I can't read it from here either. So at this particular point, we've broken the schedule to the area north of Rawson and the area south of Rawson. We're not forecasting any value on the stadium site, so recognizing that that's on county land for this analysis purpose. Now, if there's any payment of taxes at some point that's negotiated, we're not accounting for anything there. The sports indoor sports venue, that also is presently on county-owned land. We're assuming that there would be a tax base for that property at about $10 million, a little over $10 million. If that's not the case, then a need for a pilot or payment in lieu of taxes would be required or necessary to support the analysis as it's being presented. Again, a payment in lieu of taxes is for any property that does not hold a taxable value, that an agreement to make a pilot or an amount equivalent to the tax collection can be undertaken. Happens many times if you have a hospital-owned care center that's tax-exempt because of the hospital, you can collect a pilot for tax revenue on the site. The sports village that we're estimating to be about $32 million, that's that area north of Ross and includes the residential and commercial and some office development. To the south of Rawson, we've identified about $4 million, $4.4 in commercial. We've identified about $10 million for the hotel development and about $43 million for the garden apartments. So that's the assumption is about $100 million. Again, this is based upon cost of construction and discounted to about 85% of that value.